You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are discussing the NWSL Challenge Cup, the MLS's back tournament, Liga MX coming back, everything. Soccer is returning to North America. We're a little terrified, but we are happy to be seeing the beautiful game.
Absolutely. We're also going to be talking to Sebastian Salcedo of Pumas, a Liga MX player, right here on our show.
Crazy.
For real. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay, we are here. We are back.
Still at home. We are not going anywhere.
What a roller coaster that's been.
Yeah. All right. That is how I cry. We can't go nowhere.
Hello, everyone. Yes, we are the Cooligans, and we're still here. We're back. Look, Fubo TV had a little bit of a little bit of a hiatus on our show. So, but now we're back. Everybody has got a little vacation. We are all rested, and we are here to bring you all the comedic soccer news that you need.
It was 2 weeks right on the brink of people starting to text us, yo, y'all still doing that show, right? We're like, yes.
What's it here? We have not been canceled or let go.
They don't want the producers to get a little vacay. You know what I mean? Get to work. We need our Cooligans.
Exactly. So hello, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. Like I said, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television.
That's right. We're right here. But we're not just that, by the way. And by the way, comedy, are we still stand-up comedians? But we also happen to be the gulliest show.
Yeah, I think at this point we're just two guys with mental disorders on television. That's all.
Well, add us to the list. We are two guys who used to do stand-up, although I did do a live show since over the hiatus, and it was on the street. It was on the street. So in New York City, if you don't know, they've taken the car parking spot in front of the restaurant, and have turned it into a little patio. So I was in one patio, and across the street, in the other patio of the restaurant across the street, was the audience.
Yeah.
And in between us were cars and skateboarders and a dude on a motorcycle who tried to show off and almost smacked directly into my car. I was like, what are the odds? We should not be doing stand-up outside.
Yeah, that's look, this is how badly people need to laugh, that they go through these lengths, you know, to do comedy in front of incoming traffic. That's how badly we need
it. Yeah, have you ever been heckled by a jitney bus? Bruh. A little old Latina lady's just trying to get to Brooklyn. Oye, muérete. I gotta get home.
No, but look, even throughout these last 2 weeks, yes, we haven't been able to do stand-up very much, but we have been able to watch soccer in the United States. The NWSL kicked things off with the NWSL Challenge Cup, so that's been wildly entertaining, super fun.
It's so incredible. If you guys are not watching this, please do. It is so good.
I mean, look, to be honest, there's been a couple duds, a couple nil-nil. You have those from time to time. But then you have the 3-3, like, Houston Dash games and stuff like that. So those are fun as well. And also
the Lindsey Horan headers alone are worth the price of admission.
Exactly. The MLS is Back tournament also returned last, MLS returned last week.
MLS is back. MLS is front. MLS's bottom, all of it is there, dude.
Okay, it sounds like a dance move. All right,
MLS's neck, MLS's back, lick my. Anyway,
okay, I didn't know MLS could twerk like that.
Okay, right. MLS. Damn, girl, you feeling yourself? You've been locked up for 4 months. I get it.
All right, yeah, you just it's you just be yourself. All right,
yo, Garber got his groove back.
I'd watch that. So look, it's I mean, we've had some just incredible games, right? You know, if we can start with the MLS's back tournament, right? Let's at least recap some of the incredible games. Not every team has played yet. As we're recording this, Toronto and DC United are currently playing. And
finally.
Yes, that's right. You know, how about we start there? Yeah, there was a bit of a scare because we had some inconclusive and false positive COVID-19 tests on one DC United player and one Toronto FC player, which postponed the game to right now, you know, when we're recording this.
Supposedly, though, one team just didn't show up. I think it was Toronto was like, oh, there's a positive. We're staying in the hotel. We good.
Yeah.
Let's do it on FIFA.
call me when you sold all that out. All
right? No, I'll go. You just let me know when it's safe to go.
So, look, we said it even before, like, yeah, and we talked to several players, this stuff, safety is the most important thing, and people are a little nervous and a little scared, and it makes all the sense in the world, especially with everything that's going on in Florida. We just wish for players to you know, obviously come back home safely. That's really all kind of we're focusing on. So hopefully
but the fact that it is a false positive is at least a little bit of a sort of comfort that knows the protocol seems to be working. And for all the fear that was associated with this, which is rightfully so, it seems as though things are relatively as normal as can be and as safe as can be. So, you know, I'm really happy for that. Thank God it is a false positive.
Exactly. And yeah, because I don't want to feel guilty about all this dope soccer I get to watch.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I don't want to know that something bad's happening. You know what I mean? While I'm enjoying myself, you know, tell me later. You know?
Okay. You know, I don't want to acknowledge the truths of of anything. I'm an American, bro. That's how.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, I just got a good deal on this diamond. I don't need to know how it was procured from the earth. You know what I'm saying?
I just like, let's just focus on its affordability. Okay?
Yeah. As far as I'm, you know, look, this meat happens to be wildly juicy and it was pretty inexpensive. I mean, if I got to think beyond that, beyond simply how it affects me right now, I feel like you're asking for a lot.
It's way too much. Okay.
Nah,
because, you know what? I don't want to watch, the incredible free kick from Lucas Zelarayang, and then all of a sudden have this deep sense of guilt about why I get to see such an incredible goal.
I get to enjoy that without the existential crisis that becomes associated with what happens if I just throw this plastic bottle in the regular garbage? You know what I mean? Like, is it really? The island's already pretty big. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Look, this it's the American way. All right.
Yeah. I don't need free range. Just give me a range.
And shout out to the NWSL Challenge Cup because they have not had any of these issues, right? They picked the correct state to do something like this.
No food, photos. Everyone's having a good time. Everybody's people like, are high-fiving. there's like a child's playpen area on the field.
The kids are sliding. They're happy. They're like that gif of the little kid going down the slide. They're like, yeah.
Yeah. Or did you see the video of the dog that runs up and does the slide at the theme park over and over again?
Yeah.
That's life in Utah right now, man. People just having a good time.
They got a nuclear family out there in the NWSL Challenge Cup. They're just having a good time.
A goddamn Rembrandt painting.
I just want to make sure I give a shout out to Adam Mulligan, Gully Squad, who sent us these Pescara kits from Italy.
I got mine, but you know how I do. I let my stuff quarantine for a few days. No offense, you know, but it's going from one epicenter to another. So I'm going to let it sit for a little bit. You know what I mean? But it is dope.
I'm just wearing my virus all over me.
Right? You're just letting it raw dog that skin, baby. Just getting that virus right through the pores.
Shout out to Gully's Co-op. Shout out to Adam for the hookup. We appreciate it.
They're beautiful.
And we also should announce our NYCFC shirt. I was going to say she.
You're like seashells by the seashore over here. You got to fix your mouth a little bit.
Say NYCFC.
Show. NYCFC show. NYCFC at home with the Cooligans, which is the name of the show. We wanted something longer than It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That was our plan. But I mean, this is incredible. We have a show with an official soccer club.
Yes, which you can watch on NYCFC's YouTube channel. So youtube.com/NYCFC and watch it, especially before any of the matches during the MLS's back tournament. We'll be doing like a fun little pregame type show. So please check that out because it's been super fun.
It's like a happy hour, baby.
The first two are currently available. So go and see that. So, yeah, so to... Today, obviously, tonight on the show, we will be talking to Sebastian Saucedo of Pumas.
That's right.
our first Liga MX player. Liga MX is scheduled to. It's already the matches are currently going on.
This is their MLS's back tournament is happening right now called Copa por México, but their apertura starts pretty soon. Starts in about a week.
Yes, it is Liga MX ha regresado.
Yeah. Right? Estamos aquí mismo. A little different energy.
Yeah, but you get the point, okay? Yeah. But no, it's an absolute honor for us to have a Liga MX player on the show. It is pretty surreal that you know, look, you know, we're getting MLS players, NWSL players, and then to have Liga MX players, which Liga MX is the most watched league in this country. So it's great that we finally have the opportunity to kind of display some of the character from the league.
We're kind of like players in America, right? Like, we got into MLS and NWSL. We're clearly good enough for that. Now other leagues are starting to look at us. You know what I mean? Right? Okay. We're going to Mexico. We're showing off a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little trip to Europe or something. You know what
other
I mean?
Other leagues are like, yo, why you with him, though?
Yeah, right? Maybe we get a trial. Just come test the waters, my G. Kick the ball around a little bit. Let's see if some magic happens. You know?
So, yes. Well, one thing that we didn't necessarily get to in the conversation with him. So this happened about 2 weeks ago. We had this conversation before we took the hiatus. So just keep that in mind as you are watching. We're not talking about really current things, especially, you know, the standings in the Copa por México and their tournament and everything like that. So this is, this conversation happened before that. But one thing we didn't really get a chance to talk to, Sebastian Saucedo used to go by Bofo Saucedo when he was on RSL.
But no more.
No more. So we didn't get to it because we were told he does not go by that name anymore. So we did not want to offend our first Liga MX player by already calling him the wrong name. So so that did not come up. But hopefully we'll get him back on the show. Maybe, I think we've built a rapport and we can finally talk about that one day.
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll be back with Sebastian Saucedo of Pumas right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but
dude.
We're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in the Slack channel because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting now because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah, see? he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us, yeah, right, with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had
Zach Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle.
Yes.
I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad. And we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, you know, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. Again, you can subscribe at like whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, you know, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button and come aboard.
Toot toot. All right, baby, we're back. Wow, I am excited, yo. We got our first Liga MX player on this show.
This is huge. I mean, this is huge for us. I mean, look, we did it, Alexis.
This is it, right? Once we've done this, we could just shut the whole thing down, right? I mean, we did it, bro.
No, but we know, like, you know, when it comes to who watches, what league is the most watched in the United States, it's Liga MX, man.
It ain't even close, bro.
We're excited to have our first Liga MX player on this show.
What excites me is that one of my favorite sandwich shops in Queens has named the biggest torta after this. I mean, I'm not kidding. The thing's monstrosity. There's a challenge to see if you could finish it by yourself. I'm not going to tell you whether I have or haven't, but of course I have. Right? So I'm just excited that maybe I could show this dude this clip and be like, look, my dude scores bangers from the left wing. Let me get a sandwich, my guy. I'm so excited. You may know him if you're an RSL fan because he started as a homegrown there, now plays a left wing for Pumas in Liga MX. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, and if you are, pull to the side of the road and put your hands together for the one, the only, Sebastian Salcedo!
Sebastian, thank you so much for joining us, man. I mean, first of all, we have to ask, how are you doing? Where are you currently? And how is the preseason going?
I'm actually in a hotel right now. It's kind of crazy. You know, we just started preseason. It's been very, very different from my past preseasons. You know, as you guys can see, I look pretty dead. You know, I look so dead. And you know, it's a whole different, you know, world out here with preseason, that's for sure.
What is just for people, especially young guys that are listening and watching, that are like, yo, I want to play in Liga MX. You know, just the difference in preseason between MLS and the Liga MX club, especially one as historic as Pumas.
Yeah, I mean, we run every day and we have double sessions every single day. And, you know, we have a very, very high-ended coach. You know, he's a Real Madrid legend. And, you know, he was a legend with Hugo Sanchez, Butragueño, and all those type of players. So, you know, they're European-based. So the more you run, the better you're going to be. So I ran probably about more than 10 miles every day, and it's insane.
Oh, jeez.
it's crazy. And yeah, like I said, like that's probably a difference between what I've had in the past, where maybe one training session, then you rest the whole day to be able to perform the next day. And it's very, very different.
Yeah. Are we sure this is a soccer preseason training or torture? Do we need to airlift you? Do we need to save you?
I got to the first training session. My first touch was a brick. I was like, oh, we need to finish with this running.
As far as the, you know, the coronavirus concerns and a lot of those issues, like, look, it's affecting every sport. It's affecting every single industry. How do you feel it's handled, and what's going on for Liga MX as far as how they're approaching the return to play?
I just think it's very, very difficult here in Mexico City, because Mexico City is such a big place. You know, it's like a New York. It's like one of those big cities. So it's been handled very, very professional here with Pumas, just such as, you know, being together in a hotel room and then, you know, wearing, you know, taking our precautions and all that type of stuff. So I think it's been handled well. I think you know, whatever we try to do is just not to, be contagious with each other or stuff like that, small groups and all that. So it's been well, you know, we haven't had any issues, you know, yet, but just around us is this big city. So we need to be also aware of what can happen.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe telling the coach, like, you know, coronavirus affects your lungs and we're running a lot, maybe we chill on this running, you know what I mean?
Just relax a little bit.
I mean, I brought these charts. Should we pull up the charts? I'm just saying.
Nah, dude, it's you know, I tell you what, it's difficult, but I enjoy it a lot. I try to get better as a player, you know, aside of all that, you know, you learn a lot of things, you know, off the field with this being a big college and a big club. You learn on how to take care of yourself, you know, nutrition wise and schooling wise. So it's probably been the best thing that could have ever happened to me, and not
that's awesome.
Just on the field but off the field.
I watch a lot of Liga MX games, and I've never really like picked a team. I've had to like learn, like, I'm Dominican, right? So we baseball, it's like I have to like learn. I'm like, who's okay, Club America, all right, now I get who's the rival, Monterrey, and all this other stuff. So what does it mean for you, and maybe what's your history with Liga MX and with Pumas? Like, what does it mean to wear that crest for you?
I expected to come to the Liga Americas. I just never expected to come to a big club. You know, this is a historically, at least I would say, top three historical team.
Yeah.
You know, and for me to be able to wear this crest represents the fan base too, you know, not just the club, but the fan base. And if you see fan bases in Liga Americas that, you know, there's riots, they hate each other, tattoos, you know, all that type of stuff, you know, at the end of the day for us, what we do, the fans make us players, you know, they make us famous. So why we have to give them our all in training so we can be able to, you know, perform the way they want us to see us every Sunday when we play, you know what I mean? It's not easy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if they're cheering for us 90 minutes, you know, why not give it our all those 90 minutes? So
yeah,
we're happy.
Do you have any cousins or something that when you sign, they're like Club America fans, and you're like, nah, chill, you better switch up?
I actually do. My cousin, you know, he actually played for the academy for the first year, went to like GA Cup, and, you know, he's a big, big, you know, America fan. But, you know, I grew hate, man. I grew hate towards, you know, America, Cruz Azul,
yeah, all the other
all
Mexico
these
cities
here, you know what I mean? I grew hate and I grew love with this club, you know, and the way I see it is, if I respect everyone in this club, you know, it's one love, man. It's the club or nothing. And you're against, you're this club and you're against the whole world, like this whole Liga MX, because no one hates everyone hates the top clubs. They all want to beat us.
Yeah.
So it's definitely enjoyable.
What
dude,
is it going to feel
a whole
like
the world, man? It's so great.
Is there any thought about playing it, you know, possibly playing games without fans? How's that going to affect your performance?
It's going to suck, man. Like, it's just like anywhere else in the world, you know, it's going to definitely suck. But at the end of the day, we do what's best, and it's play, you know, every weekend. And at least if we're playing every weekend and you guys can watch it on TV, that's something where we can start from, you know.
You know, I want to talk about the U.S. men's national team, because you are a player who was you were on the qualifying roster for the Olympics. I was really looking forward to these games. Again, the U.S. men's national team had not made it to the Olympics in what, the last two cycles,
Beijing, right?
Yeah. So it's been a while, and everybody was like a little bit more, you know, optimistic this time around. You were announced on the roster, and then like literally a couple of days later, they canceled the Olympics. So obviously heartbreaking just for me as a fan, but how did it affect you?
Oh, you said it right there. I think it was very, very heartbreaking. One, because, you know, I'm a 97 pool player. So, you know, it's going to take another year for this whole thing to stop or whatever. And what if you're not eligible to play since that 97 pool, you know what I mean? But other than that, you know, like I said, I've never felt so good soccer-wise. I've never felt so fit. I was ready to go. I felt like I was top of my game, and I could have led the group, you know, to be able to get results for us to go to Tokyo. And I think, you know, I've had conversations with Jason, and you know, I really felt like I could have been a leader, you know, learning so many things here. And, you know, being a leader doesn't just be on the field, but off the field too. So I felt really, really comfortable in going in and kind of taking charge of that.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you about playing for in Liga MX, doing well in Liga MX and playing for a club at the level that Pumas is. Do you think this helps you with your ability to get in the senior men's team for US? And is anyone in your ear about trying to play for Mexico? Like, who do we have to call and tell to chill? Because we need you on this men's national team for US.
Yeah, no, it's literally where I got here in January, and that same January I was supposed to go do that January camp with the national team. So, you know, I could have possibly debuted. Was it against Costa Rica where they played?
But with the January camp, which is a really good opportunity to get your first steps into the senior team.
Exactly. And I even though if it was January, I know I felt fit as well because I was already coming in, and we had, I think our first game was the 9th of January, if I'm not mistaken. That's where I scored my first goal. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't know, it's really weird to say. I just haven't gotten really the opportunity to go to one of the camps, you know, and I feel like if I'm playing at such a big club in Mexico and, you know, I'm doing well and I'm getting, you know, 9 starts out of the 11 games, and why haven't I gotten called up? You know, there's players that play in championship. Yeah, it's different. It's England. I get it. But maybe is the reason why other players get called up is because they're in Europe, you know, and not in Mexico. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's a lot of little factors, and I don't understand it sometimes. I think there's other players that deserve the opportunity that are playing a lot of games in the MLS, and they don't get the opportunity. So, you know, it's very, very tough.
This is what Christian and I have said. We'll do this for free. Let us be the Latino, like, you know, coordinators or liaisons for the
liaison.
Well, we'll call and be like, oye, chico, how's shit going, papa? We'll just Latino it up, and just to make people feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Because it seems like no shots at men's at U.S. soccer, but it seems like in the men's side, it seems to be the Latino players that sometimes are kind of left wondering, am I a part of it? Am I not?
Man, I don't know if you guys, like, I know you guys watching and all, but, like, have you guys realized how difficult Liga MX is? Like, Tigres, they have got Gignac. You know, América has a lot of good players, but, I mean, Willow went from América to Betis, you know, and other players. But Tigres has Ener Valencia, you know, Gignac, you know, Vargas, you know, all those type of players. And no one realizes how difficult it is to play here.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'm not going to say that this league is better than the Portuguese league or.
Oh, you can say that. This is the show to say that.
I'd say that.
Yeah. No, 100 facts. I bet you Pumas could not only play, but do really well against a Benfica. Why not?
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's just crazy to think, you know, a lot of people don't respect it. And I'll tell you why, because they compete against the MLS, and that shouldn't be. There should be a competition, but you know what there should be? A help on how both leagues can get better.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, I don't know, man. I just, it's crazy.
Yeah, we had a question from one of our fans, MJ Lee. She had asked, how could U.S. soccer show more love to dual national Mexican-American players so that more will want to play for USA? So we talk about this often about how, you know, they, you know, why am I forgetting his name? Jonathan
Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Like those issues, those dual national. Is there anything that you feel from U.S. soccer that where they can kind of improve that, or are they essentially doing their best? And this is a kind of situation that we all have to live with.
It's opportunities. So at the end of the day, it comes down to opportunities. Are you going to tell me that Jonathan Gonzalez was not one of our best midfielders that we had in U.S. soccer?
Yeah.
He goes and starts for Monterrey on a team that's top.
Yeah.
And he's playing with Funes Mori. He's playing with, you know, a lot of top players, Dorlan Pavón. And you're going to tell me that he can't go to the U-20 World Cup, or he can't be at least given a shot to go to the senior national team? Bro, he's starting for one of the best teams in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a consistent starter, and they won it.
Yeah.
I mean,
so where can he go wrong? What can he do? It wasn't a wrong idea that he left the U.S., you know? And the reason why I didn't leave was because of the opportunity. I mean, I talked to Tab. Tab told me. Tab was straight honest with me. You know, he thought that I was a very important player, and that's why I decided to come to the U.S., and I felt comfortable with that. You know, I felt like Tab gave me that opportunity. And by the way, Tab's, you know, coaching staff was phenomenal. I enjoyed it. The U-20s, I enjoyed it. And maybe we'll cross someday.
Dude, you beasted it too. What, 15 matches, 7 goals at the U-20 World Cup? Damn.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, dude, that's why I think, honestly, Christian and I can help. Like, a situation like Jonathan Gonzalez, we show up, we go to the backyard, we dig the pit for the barbacoa, we have a conversation, right? Yeah. Let's talk with the family, my guy.
And you know, and then after that, you know, yeah, you do get sold dreams that you're going to play on the Mexican national team, but you know what it was? The U.S. could have done that. The same thing that maybe they don't roster him to the Mexican national team, but They at least gave him the – they capped him, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah.
That's what you have to do, to cap these young players.
I 100% agree.
Sebastian, I'm sorry, room service? No, it's all good. A little bit about sort of your come up to get to the level of Pumas. It's kind of a two-part question, but one – when you found out that Pumas was interested, how excited were you? You know, were you like, which Pumas? You know what I mean? Like, for real? The one I want?
Or the one I'm dreaming for?
Yeah. And also, you know, if you go back to, and I get that at RSL, you were a part of a really exciting young core. But it seems almost you are having an easier time getting starting positions or starting roles with Pumas than you were with RSL at the time. What are your thoughts on that? And how excited were you when you found out that Pumas was interested?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything just changed because, you know, when you're 16 and you're scoring 4 goals a game against, you know, Strikers Academy or LA Galaxy or whatever, you know, everything just changes because then satisfied with signing at 17 years old. You know what I mean? When you're a young player, you're satisfied with signing so young and, oh, I made it, you know, oh, I'm making money. But then after, you know, you start getting a little bit of that taste of, you know, playing here and there. And then you're like, oh, shoot, well, I debuted. Even though it's like, in reality, it shouldn't even be like that. It should be like, oh, I debuted. I want more minutes than just 3 minutes that I just came in.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then, you know, I signed at 17, and then I go on this loan to Veracruz at 18. Once again, I'm playing in Liga MX in Veracruz. Mm-hmm. I debuted against America, and I'm starting, and I won the cup. It's like, it's just changes. It's like, I just didn't know really if this was real because I was so young playing at first division in Mexico, and it wasn't, you know, there was not many opportunities for young players, and they did it for me.
Yeah.
And I come back from this loan to Salt Lake, and it was so tough, man. I would play, I wouldn't play, you know, and especially this last year where I was in Salt Lake, or the last 2 years, you know, it was not the best, man. I felt like I was disrespected. I want two things to play. And, you know, it does have to do a lot with maybe off the field, you know. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy time with my friends and family. But, you know, at the end of the day, why I did that and why I wanted to enjoy and have fun was because I wasn't even going to play. I could tell you guys, I already knew I was going to go in when the team was losing or when they were tied or the last 5 minutes of the game or 10 minutes, if so. And so the last year, I already knew I was going to leave RSL. So I was enjoying more. I was enjoying my friends and family.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how it shouldn't be, but, you know, I learned now, and that's not what's going to happen here. You know, I want to leave here with the championship. I want to leave here with Sebastián is starting just like I did last season, you know, here before this whole thing happened.
Yeah, it makes it tough, too.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you know, not every relationship is great. You know what? Like, not everybody is going to work out or whatever.
I thought it was different because I had Freddie in the academy, you know, and as a coach in the academy. And then I come to RSL and he's head coach. And all of a sudden, I'm getting benched. give me a shot.
You know, like, me, bro.
Yeah, it's up. Hey, look, you like, and I
gave you two national championships. Yeah. You know, I went to GA Cup. I scored 60 goals in 50 games.
I know. You're like, please, should I invite you out with the homies? Is that what the problem is? Yeah, you want to come out? What's the deal?
Look, because you have every reason to be a confident player, right? You're like, you have the resume. So it's just like, yo, why aren't I getting these opportunities? And I did want to talk about, you did play for Veracruz and you did get to win a title. And I have two questions. Going back after you win, you think like, Sebastian's in the building. Let's go.
Remember me from the parade.
I can see that. So I'm curious how you felt coming back, right? With that confidence. And also, Veracruz, apparently there's a llama in there. That's all good. Veracruz, can you talk about that? Because the team did fold last year, and that was like a really kind of a bit of a shock to a lot of soccer fans in Mexico.
It's so upsetting, man, you know, because I lived the best part in Veracruz for the club. And it's like, it was so crazy because we win the Copa MX the first time in the history of the club. So we're a very, very, that was a very, very special group. And yeah, like you said, I went to that, you know, and I came back and I felt like, dang, like, I feel like I'm going to be a really, really good player. And truly, look, to be fair, I felt like if I would have been focused and determined and all this that I'm doing here in Pumas, I guarantee you a year I would have scored at least 10 goals.
Wow.
And I'm not saying because it's easy, but it's saying because if I can do it here, I could do it there as well. And there's more games, you know what I mean? There's more. It's a whole year round. Here it's just 6 months.
Dude, you know what's funny? Tiburones was going to be the club that I was going to pick because I found out that more Cubans live in Veracruz. There's a lot of Cubans that live there. So the accent in Veracruz kind of sounds like the Cuban accent. I'm like, yo, those are my peoples, right? Oye, coño, que che, you know, que coño. I was like, these are my people. I could go there and I could fit right in. And then the club closes. I was like, what the hell's going on?
No, it was definitely a good city. You know, I loved living there. It was very, very cheap. You know, beach was nice. I couldn't complain. You know, I had everything I needed.
Yeah. Did they pay you? That's always a big issue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they paid me.
Okay.
It was good.
Okay, you got your money.
Like I said, we got the special group. So yeah, we won the cup. That was good. You know, we were good. I can't complain.
Okay. Nice. So, so we have, don't know if you want to talk about this or can or whatever. I'm curious about your thoughts about Mike Petke when he was your coach and when he was let go. Is there any, you know, again, you don't have to get into any too many details if you do not want to, but how did, you know, a lot of, we know the negative things that Mike Petke did and why he was let go. What were the positive things at least you felt, and what was your relationship with him like?
Well, to be fair, I never thought he should have gotten fired for that.
Okay.
And the reason why I tell you is because you can use that word in so many different, you know, whatever, like you can, can use it in so many different options.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I get him, you know what I mean? It's frustrating, you know, and as a coach, why is he fighting? He's fighting for your team, you know, for protecting his players, for wanting the best for his team. So being let go for something like that, I get it. He's not, I mean, I have some, like, I don't know how to explain it. If he's using it, like, directly to call him that, then, you know, that's not a bad thing. But if he's using it to call, like, a girl that, then
context is important, and we've spoken about this a lot, especially as Spanish speakers. We know, like, the context is important. I mean, in general,
it's a complex word.
Yeah, people don't want to, you know, when somebody's taking a goal kick, people are like, yo, we don't need this in the game. Yeah. But in general, when it comes to the scope of the Spanish language and then Mexican in particular, you know, like certain Spanish kind of countries use words differently. And the word means different things to different people. But yeah, it is, you know, look, he knows he shouldn't have done it. That's really the main thing.
It was also the only word on the note. You know what I mean? Like if... Put some other words in there, you know what I mean? Yeah. Give us some context, but it's the only one. It's like you're going to be rated against the worst possible use of that word.
I think regardless, you know, he shouldn't be using that type of language either.
Yeah.
But for me, he should have never been fired.
What do you think about him as a coach?
He was very, very bipolar.
Yeah?
Oh, okay.
Very bipolar. Like, so I don't know if I was on his good side sometimes or I was in his bad side. You know, I couldn't complain. You know, his work was good. You know, it was fun. You know, I enjoyed it when I was playing, and yeah, I enjoyed him. You know, when he was good, but then I didn't know when I would get him in a bad.
I think that's also just the East Coast attitude. You know what I mean? Like we're generally kind of angry at all times. You know what I mean? So you never really know if we're happy. You just accept slightly less angry as happy. You know what I mean?
Well, we know.
Pecky always sounds like he got the wrong sandwich at a deli, regardless of how you know. Oh, it's my birthday. You're like, do you not want it to be your birthday? Like,
I get that. No, he was. You know, there was when he was on his good side, I couldn't complain.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Again, I had mentioned we had questions from the Gully Squad, which was our supporters group. We had a question from Catherine Tucker, who's a big RSL fan. And she just asked.
There's also very important part of this question, which I hope you get to.
Yes. That is what I'm going to I'm gonna start with, because she's from Utah. I think also from Park City. And she said, Devanza's pizza or the pie?
No, Devanza's for sure. Okay. Man. Like, Devanza's for
that was fast. I'm a look this up. I don't know if you know this, Sebastian. I'm a pizza expert.
I can't be eating that anymore, though.
Yeah. I'm a pizza expert here in New York, so I'm just going to judge your pizza taste real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am not the pizza expert, but we get into a lot of pizza debates on our show because of Alexis's expertise. Are you generally a big fan of pizza in the off season or whatever?
I can eat pizza. Yeah. Okay. I'm a fan. Yeah. I mean, you know, pizza comes in clutch whenever you need it.
Yeah, dude.
It's carbs. You know what I mean? You got a nice, the wings look great, and so do the tacos, which I did not think I would say about a pizza place. But the pizza, I'll just say, okay. All right. It's definitely considered pizza. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You need a visit.
Yeah, I got to go. She also said hometown hero, which has got to be exciting, right? To be someone from Park City, Utah, go all the way to play for Pumas, to hear and to still feel love from the RSL fans. How does that feel for you?
I feel thankful. You know, when you talk about Park City, you talk about gold medalists and skiing, you know, other stuff that has to do with, you know, snow, and not really so much, you know, a sport that's like soccer, you know, and for me to be able to, you know, set my stamp, I think it's kind of like it's a blessing, because, you know, it's footsteps that little kids can follow from Park City, you know, and say, I come from a small city, but, you know, who cares? You know, this small city wants to produce more soccer players growing from Park City. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a blessing to be able to, you know, represent Park City in general.
Yeah,
you know,
I was mentioning to you off air. I was in Park City. I was snowboarding, and I'm just curious what the soccer scene is like out there, because I was snowboarding on the mountain. I'm like, there's nobody who looks like me on this mountain. What's going on?
Yeah, no, and you know, there's very beautiful fields out there. You know, it's growing definitely. So, you know, I think when you start getting players, more and more players to come out and be successful, you start kind of investing in the little clubs, you know, that come out of there, a lot of soccer teams. And you know, it's really cool. Actually, my dad has a little soccer team, and their team's really, really good. And I'm happy for my dad to finally have a job that, you know, he's expressing himself on how just like how he helped me.
Yeah.
He wants to do it for young kids, you know, and, you know, it's tough because, you know, my dad was never had that job, you know,
yeah.
And he had other jobs, and it's, and for him to have a big change like that, I see it like a very happy thing for me, because you don't always have to work so hard and kill yourself, like, you know, like how my dad did, you know, to have me happy, you know?
Yeah. No, that's inspiring. I mean, my parents, you know, immigrants, my dad is a mechanic. My mom is a seamstress. She's just been sewing. My mom still, I don't make enough money to, so my mom doesn't have to sew clothes. I'm like trying to, that's where I'm trying to get to.
Same here. I'm first generation American, and my mother works in a hospital, and my dad is a professional ghost because we've never seen him. We don't know what he looks like. And you don't make a lot of money as a ghost.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's funny. No, yeah, for sure. That's definitely something where, you know, you can never go wrong. You know, I think I felt like I've taken, you know, Real Salt Lake and MLS for granted. And, you know, that was not something in my part that was very, very professional. And if I can go back, I would do things different, because one, I had my family in Utah, you know, and for them to see me happy and playing and scoring, it would have been something different. And now that I'm doing something here in Mexico City where they're in Utah, you know, it's not the same to have the same feeling in TV than you do in person, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Actually, you mentioned that, and you clearly have a lot of love for Park City, Utah. Look, it's not a secret that the split between you and RSL wasn't the most amicable, right? It wasn't the easiest. Do you think that bridge is burnt? Do you ever see yourself maybe later on in your career making a change, maybe being able to go back? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's very, very possible to go back to Salt Lake, you know, and I would love to.
Cool.
Because one, they know my talent, and they know that if I'm being as professional as I'm doing it here in Pumas, and if I take that over with what I learned here and go back, then, you know, for sure I would be able to be a key player for Real Salt Lake. And I felt like I was a key player when I was starting. I was scoring back-to-back games. And,
yeah.
And it's crazy because, you know, even if I scored back-to-back games, or if I didn't, or I assisted, there was a time where I made, like, the team of the week, you know, four times in a row. And not everyone does that, you know. And if you do, it's because you're starting every single game and you know you have that starting spot. But I was able to do it, and the takeaway is that I would love to go back to Salt Lake, and I would love to be able to kill it in Salt Lake. But, you know, right now I'm at a very big club, and
yep,
and I want to prove myself more than what I've already Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, and by the way, that question was from Ian. So if it sounded intelligent, it's because I didn't think of it. That was Ian, who's one of our Gully Squad members.
Yes, another RSL fan. No, you know, frankly, I mean, I don't think when it comes to MLS or just American soccer in general, like your story is not even close to being done, man. So it's amazing what you're doing. And as fans of soccer, as Americans, man, we're absolutely proud of you. So you
know, we're so excited to see you with that senior team, bro, because I know you're going to do it.
I would love to, man. I've been waiting. I've been hungry for it, and I can't wait.
And you know what? We still haven't picked Liga MX clubs, so you know what? I'm going to be a Pumas fan. How about
Let's go, Pumas. Let's do
That's it. Man. I gotta get me a jersey. You sell them in double XL?
No, I'll have to give you guys the information after, so I can ship you guys jerseys.
Oh hell yeah,
too kind, man. Thank
this
you, dude.
It's not like MLS. You know, I think you spend like $100 for a jersey. I pay $100 here, and I get like 15.
Let's go, dog.
Yo, look at that.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and Sebastian Salcedo. I appreciate you, man. This was incredible. Thank you for just being dope and sincere and honest. And we wish you all the best in this upcoming Liga MX season, and hopefully representing the U.S. men's national team in some international competitions. Is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
No, just obviously keep respecting these quarantine rules and you know, this virus stuff is crazy, you know. So as long as we all respect it, we're all going to get through this together. But other than that, no, I appreciate you guys for having me on here. It was a blast, you know, and And I'm going to have to send you guys those jerseys. You guys are in Pumas.
Let's go. Sure. Yeah, well, you'll see us rocking them on the show, man. We appreciate
I can't wait
you.
Till Hercules Gomez comes on the show, which is coming up soon. He's going to be mad because I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it for sure. All
right. Yeah, I have to wear it.
All right, everybody. So just make sure you follow Sebastian on all social media. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans and also follow at Fubo Sports. And you subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel if you'd like to watch full episodes of our program. So with that said, let's end the show the way we normally do. So for Sebastian Salcedo, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! We heard you.
Amazing.